Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 FY 2022 earnings conference call of Adani Wilmar Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vikrant Kashyap. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening, everyone. On behalf of KR Choksey Research, we welcome you all for FY 2021 and Q4 FY 2022 earnings conference call of Adani Wilmar Limited. I take this opportunity to welcome the management of Adani Wilmar Limited, represented by Mr. Angshu Mallick, CEO and Managing Director, Mr. Srikant Kanhere, Chief Operating Officer. We begin this call with a brief overview by the company, followed by the question and answer. The management will run through the presentation over Zoom meeting. The link has already been shared. I now hand over the call to Mr. Angshu Mallick for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to everybody joining from various parts of the world. Thank you for joining this call, and I hope you all are safe, sound, and healthy. Taking this, looking at the business ahead, we are one more quarter passing by with COVID, although continuing, but at a much lower level. Impacts not significant, at least in Q4. Though we all feel that the worst is over, there are some indications that June, July onwards, some increase in cases might happen. We are keeping our fingers crossed on that. There has been a sustained inflation across agri commodities, especially in the edible oils, and impacting consumption in the broader FMCG segment because edible oils also forms a formidable part of the raw material for the other food and allied industries, particularly home care products. The Ukraine crisis and the recent ban by Indonesia too have continued to add to the inflationary pressure. We have seen the consumption of sunflower oil going down 50% due to higher prices, with consumers shifting to other available oils. Here, I would like to also inform that we have given here an indication that crude palm oil, which was at around $1,042 per ton CIF in June 2021, has gone up to $1,770 in March. Let me tell you, now it's $1,950, so it has gone up. It's almost double what we have seen in June 2021. Soybean oil is now at $22,000 against $1,800. That is what we are seeing here. Sunflower has gone up by another $100 to $2,200 from $1,261. Overall, the prices have steadily gone up, mainly because of the weather conditions in South America, where the bean production has been lower by 30 million tons. Then came the Ukraine war, and then the all of a sudden ban in Indonesia. Going forward, we all are looking at the weather of India, China, and U.S. This is the time when we start looking at the weather from June to September. This very critical period where the three big countries producers will see their crop coming up. Supply chain bottlenecks have by and large been eased, and we have seen consumptions gradually picking up. Still, it's at the lower level, but it looks like it's going to pick up. We think the recent ban by Indonesia on palm oil is temporary, as the country is actually a surplus and exporting nation with 65% of its production being exported. We expect sooner than later some solution after particularly the Eid holidays. With the inflation context, we see the rural markets being impacted and to remain tepid in the medium term. We have to see the monsoon, how is it, although it is predicted to be good and average. So we all expect the monsoon to help the rural demand pick up. However, in the long run, rural will continue to be the key market to focus on, and definitely will do better than urban in considering that they have a lower market penetration as of now. Going into the FMCG industry, in spite of COVID, we have seen more than 8 lakh new stores getting added in the FMCG segment, and 50% of this is through rural. In AWL, we have added almost around 200,000 outlets. During the past 2 years of COVID, we have also seen sales picking up through channels like e-com and modern trade. We will share with you our performance in both the segments. Rupee has shown a good resilience and has been range bound, although after the Ukraine war, the rupee has is down up to say 76.50 against 74 or 75 earlier. With respect to the economy, the risk has now shifted from COVID-19 to geopolitical issues, inflation, rate hike by US Fed, and the weather conditions that we will see going forward. I would also like to take you through the supply and demand dynamics of edible oil, what we call it as S&D in our parlance. This is one very critical measurement tool that we always keep on working on, because in this business, one has to understand the S&D very, very well, and that keeps us ahead of the competition because of the information that we get from Wilmar Global Operations. If you see the pass by 21-22, the total consumption was expected to grow at 1.8%, considering population growth of 1% and consumption growth of only 0.7%. Against this 1.8% growth, I am happy to say that AWL has grown by almost 10% in volume terms in edible oil. And looking at our volumes, of course, this 10% is a significant number. Going forward for 22-23, we feel that the growth will be a little higher, and 3% is what we are expecting overall consumption growth of edible oil for 22-23, and that is positive in the sense that it will help create higher demand. We also feel that the per capita consumption is still little lower, and there is a possibility of that going up. We would now like to update you on the company. We are happy to share that we have crossed overall volume of 50,000 crores, and we complete at 54,214 crores as the turnover, and the overall volume at 4.8 million metric tons or 48 lakh tons. Out of the overall sales, branded B2C sales contributed 72%. We have seen a very good growth in alternate channels like e-commerce and modern trade, with year-on-year growth at 34% and 19% respectively. In rural too, we have shown a growth in spite of the various challenges at the hand. 7% in case of edible oil and 17% in foods. I am talking only of volume growth, not value growth. When we get into the other products, you will find that in edible oil, we have been able to increase our market share from 18% to 18.80. Here, I would like to inform that as the prices goes up, there is a general tendency in the retail and the wholesale that they like to stock brands which are very fast moving, only to be reassured that in the event the market falls, they are in a better position to liquidate their stocks. Now, we have seen that happening, and that is why our Q4 volume growth, you will find, has been one of the highest in the last 12 to 14 quarters. we have continued to gain the market share both in oil and foods. We will continue to leverage our large distribution and also drive GTM strategy for rural growth opportunities. We believe the packaged food segment is underpenetrated with significant headroom for growth. In case of wheat flour, we have gone from 3.5 to 4.7. These are all MAT figures, that is moving average total. However, exit March is always higher, and we feel that this will continue to grow faster in days to come. Our Q4 performance has been surely much higher in terms of volume growth. When you look at individual soils, we continue to dominate, and success for AWL's volume growth is because of the portfolio of oils that we handle. So when there is a crisis in one oil and consumers shift to a nearest available oil, that comparable oil, we have an advantage because we are there in all the segments that one can think of. So in soybean, we continue to be number one. We have managed at 28.8. Sunflower oil, we are number three at 10.9. Here also the market share has grown a bit. Palm oil, the market share has grown this year. We are number two. Worthmore, we are number two. Rice bran, number one at 19%. Mustard oil, a clear number one at 12.4. These are all Nielsen figures. As per Nielsen, this year the consumer pack market has actually degrown by 1.2%, but we have continued to show our growth mainly because of the portfolio of oil that we are working on. Product launches, we have launched poha. Poha, let me tell you, we have put two kinds of poha. One is Indori poha and one is the normal poha. And we have worked on the paddy, which paddy is going to be best suited for the Indori poha.
Okay, so during the course of the year, we introduced three new products. First one was for the breakfast category, poha. As we all know, we have two types of breakfast poha. One is Indori and one is the normal. And we have gone into the identification of the right kind of paddy. And from there, we have made it in Chhattisgarh province, which produces one of the best poha in the country. It is now available in all the metro cities as well as in the e-commerce chains. We introduced two new variants of khichdi after doing some test marketing where they wanted something different, something not the mundane one. So we made pav bhaji, khichdi with pav bhaji taste maker, which has taken off relatively well. And then we have introduced the first time in India 3-in-1 blended oil, which is called as a balanced oil, because our research said that doctors recommend change of oil. So that is because of the balanced fatty acid, and this is one of the best oils in its class, which has 3-in-1, and we have added flaxseed oil in this. So that is it. Now, update on IPO proceeds. As part of the recently concluded IPO, we have, which was an entire fresh one, we have identified certain objects towards utilization of the IPO proceeds. Out of this, we have repaid majority of our long-term borrowing that was against 1058 crores. We have paid 940 crores already. Rest of the money has been parked and on which we are now working for the new projects that will take off anytime soon. On Fortune Mart, I am happy to inform that we have added, we have now 33 locations in which we have Fortune Mart. All these Fortune Marts are also fulfillment centers for our D2C channel, Fortune Online. They also serve as experimentation zone as well as for product promotion. On Fortune Line, our D2C channel, Fortune Online is now available across 25 cities, and we have added lot many PIN codes to add more customer base. More than 1.4 lakh individual customers have joined this Fortune Online. On CapEx, we have capitalized projects worth 690 crores. this financial year. The major projects which we completed in financial year 22 are the new oleochemical complex of 400 tons per day at Mundra. That makes it double the capacity at 800 tons per day and one of the largest oleochemical complex at single location in the country. We have also started soya nuggets, 50 ton per day plant at Haldia, because East happens to be one of the major consumers of soya nuggets. We have also recently acquired a rice mill in West Bengal, which is Burdwan district, for mainly catering the non-basmati rice. We shall also start commencement of various projects identified under the projects in IPO. As far as ESG is concerned, ESG is well embedded in our management culture. We are deeply committed to ESG standards that we have adopted, keeping in mind the industry we operate. We have zero liquid discharge system installed in most of the plants. 97% of the packing materials used are all recyclable. On the soup portion, this is a project very dear to us. We have focused on children 0 to 5, young adolescent girls and lactating mothers for eradication of malnutrition and anemia. We work with Adani Foundation on our Soup Potion project. More than 15 sites we are working, more than 1.6 million beneficiaries have used this, and we have been able to promote a lot many children and adolescent girls out of SAM to MAM and then to better off. On ESG in palm oil, more than 90% of the crude palm oil we source have provenance to the mill. We are governed by Wilmar Global NDPE policy. All our palm oil refineries are all RSPO compliant. Further, I would request Shrikant to take us through the financial highlights.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Malik. So when we look at the performance overview of the company, let me first talk about the quarterly numbers. It's a good story here as far as the volume is concerned. We have grown by 16%, which is really encouraging for us, because for last couple of quarters, we have been able to showcase only single-digit growth. And when most of the FMCG companies are not able to showcase a growth on a volume, we have been able to showcase 16% year-on-year growth in the quarter four. Operating revenues up by 40%. This is also, in fact, on account of the commodity prices, which have gone up. Just to share a data point with this group, when we started FY21, the edible oil prices were in the range of $600 to $750 a ton. By the time we ended FY21, the prices were already at a level of around $1,200 a ton. And by the time we ended FY22, the prices were already at a level of $1,800. Now, from a 600 to 1800 in just two financial years, and that's the price rise or commodity hike which we have seen as far as the edible oil is concerned. In fact, as I speak today, this 1800 has already crossed 2000, of course, because of the Ukraine and the current Indonesian announcement. EBITDA is good 29% year-on-year growth at 488 crore for the quarter, and PAT, the normalized PAT, 235 crore, which is 39% year-on-year growth. So this is a good story so far. When you look at a segment, edible oil revenues up by 41%, EBIT up by 42%, and volume, it is again a good story, because edible oil, we could showcase for overall growth of 23% year-on-year as far as the quarter four is concerned. Food, again, when we look at volumes, it's 33% up. Revenue is up by 49% and EBIT growth of 94%. Industry essential, revenues are up by 34%. The EBIT, which is segment revenue, is down 94%. This is because of the mark-to-market losses which we have to book in contracts. The corresponding gain is actually sitting in the inventories which we are expecting to realize in quarter one. volumes here are down by 11%, basically due to rapeseed meal export, which is more of a traded item, which we didn't do this time because of the disparity. When we look at the performance for the full year, the volumes we could handle could 4.8 million metric ton, close to 5 million metric ton, overall growth of 8% year on year. Revenues up the revenues 54,214, we have been able to cross that 50,000 crore mark, up by 46%. EBITDA up by 34% at close to 1,909 crores. PAT at 804, up 26%. This is normalized PAT after giving an one-time adjustment of the tax reversals which we took last year. So when we look at the segment, here also a very good story. Edible oil overall grew by 10%, which is double-digit growth for us. Revenue up by 47% and the segment revenue by 26%. And similar story you can look at for the food and FMCG, where the volumes we are growing at 34%. This is what we are driving as far as the food is concerned. The EBIT or segment revenue is more or less flat. As we said, that EBITDA neutral basket as of now. And we are happy to conclude this year with a food basket of plus of 2,500 crores. So food basket of 2,621 crores is a very encouraging story for us, and that's how we will continue to grow from here. Industry essential, again, 42% up on revenue, 57% up on EBIT. Volume, of course, is down by 11% back of the rapeseed meal, which we have not done because of the disparity. This is all from my side as far as the performance and financial aspects of the company is concerned. And now I can request the operator to open the floor for the question answer. We'll happy to answer.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who would like to ask a question, please press star and one at this time. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Avnish Roy from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, sir. My first question is on the rice market share. Is there a typo? Because in Q3, your market share was much higher at 11.7%. And in Q4, it seems to have dropped to 6.5%. Is there any typo here in terms of market share?
See, you are referring to the quarterly thing where we have grown on a quarter to quarter to reach at 11.7, but that is exit for that month. But when we talk of MAT, that is moving average from April to March, our market share is at
6.5.
That is, you see, that is because of the 12 month average. But when you look at only the quarter, our Q4 performance has been better, much better. And in Q4, maximum the growth we have got in terms of volume.
So to get like-to-like numbers, is it possible to comment on exit market share rate so that market share data so that we can know what is like-to-like data?
Exit market share data, I can give you. Exit market share data of Q4, if you ask me, Rice, I will tell you. This is MAT, is 6.49, but when it comes to Q4 exit, Q4 exit will be roughly around what I am seeing is, I'll just get back to you, Agnish, on it. I have the plus. We generally work on MAT because exit is always higher. If the performance of Q4 is high, your March exit will show very high number. But when you look at average April to March, it will come down. So we generally look at average April to March, but I will give you exit March also. Just give me a little time.
Sure, sir. I'll take it offline. I was just referring to the rice market share in Q3 you had shared. So if you could report there also MAT data or rather than exit so that like-to-like comparison can be made. Sir, my second question is on the commentary you made on volume growth for the industry in FY23 in the edible oil. So now there are two parts to this. One is, of course, every edible oil is going up. So how do you see consumption patterns changing? Because spice bran and mustard, maybe the availability in domestic sourcing can be better versus sunflower and palm oil. So do you see these two gaining market share, at least in first half of FY23? And how are you placed in rice bran and mustard if this shift happens at the consumer level?
One, Abneesh, we are seeing surely reduced consumption. So the high prices are surely impacting the consumption. That is for sure. So the per capita consumption may not grow or may be steady. That is why we have projected 1.8 and next year going forward 3%. But 3% also will happen after the second half. The first half is going to be slow because the present prices are high. Now, when the market of sunflower and soybean will go up and there is a shift, surely mustard and rice bran are two local oil where there is bound to be shift. We are already seeing demand from mustard oil, both Kachchi Ghani or Pungent mustard oil as well as refined mustard oil. Let me tell you, Fortune is number one brand in mustard oil at 12.2% market share. Number one. Number two is that we have seen much higher growth in mustard oil in Q4, and in this month also we have seen, so April, May, June also, we will see very high volume growth in mustard oil. So that is for sure. Second, rice bran oil also, Fortune being number one brand of rice bran oil, any shift happening towards rice bran oil, we are surely going to get some benefit. Now, all this is because when you have a portfolio of oil, it is at least easy to catch the consumer when they shift from one category to another category.
Sure, sir. Thanks, sir. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone who would like to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Latika Chopra from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. I wanted to, get some color on the seasonality impact on edible oil. So if we, look at revenue per metric ton for edible oil, and if we look at EBIT per metric ton for edible oil, it seems the revenue per metric ton is up about 4% on a QOQ basis, but EBIT per metric ton is about 60% roughly on a QOQ basis. So just trying to understand, why is when I calculate the base quarter also, I see this big jump in the fourth quarter. So if you could explain, the reason for this. And on an aggregate basis, as we look towards FY23 and, clearly you talked about consumption being impacted due to higher prices, but clearly you are gaining market share. What is your assessment of, your targets on edible oil volume growth for FY23? Thank you.
I will ask you, answer the second part first. Meanwhile, Srikanth can tell you the first question, answer on the first question. See, because of the high prices, there is cut in demand. That is one. That is cut in consumption. I am talking of average at an all India household. Now, when it comes to a particular oil, particular brand, a brand may do much better than the market because in this type of scenario, what we are seeing very clearly is demand for brands where the retailer can exit fast. Suppose tomorrow the market falls by 10 rupees a liter, he knows that Fortune, I can sell, and even if I make 2 rupees loss, but I can manage it. But if it is an unknown brand, consumers may not buy and I will have to hold that. That is creating the issue, and for us, the advantage is that we have been growing our market share. We have actually grown our market share and we hope to continue this market share growth in FY23 also. Our projection is that
even if the country grows at 3% volume growth, we should grow at anything at 6 to 8%.
Yeah. So, Ladika, on your first question, as far as the revenue comparison to the EBIT growth is concerned, you have a question specifically for edible oil, or you have a question for generally for
company as a whole? I wanted to first cover the edible oil part. I do have some questions on industry essentials, but this question was specifically first to address the edible oil, you know, seasonality or why this big variance, and how should actually, Shikhar, we should think about, you know, EBIT per metric ton growth. I think for the whole FY22, you did about 13 or 15%, right? If I'm not mistaken. So how should one think? Because there's a lot of volatility, and I understand that, you know, you think more on profit per ton basis, right? So how should one think about in FY23? I know prices will keep moving up and down, but how should one look at that? Yeah. So we'll restrict it to edible oil for now.
Yeah, so edible oil, yes, clearly was an exceptional quarter for us when you look at quarter four. And when we say in our business, what happens is you have a dynamic way of looking at mark-to-markets, which keeps moving from one quarter to another quarter. And therefore, for particular cutoffs of any quarter, you may hold some of the mark-to-markets on the balance sheet date, which gets reflected either in the next quarter or which gets reflected in the same quarter. So therefore, in our business, when you look at exactly quarter on quarter, it may not be a right way of looking at it. It should be a full year basis. But yes, having said that, it's not the only mark-to-market which is getting reflected in quarter four, but for quarter four, we have been able to get better realization, whether it is a sunflower, whether it is a soya, or whether it is a mustard oil. And that's something which has getting reflected in the margin more than the improvement in the sales realization.
So, Shikhar, how should one think about it? You know, your EBIT per metric ton typically is grown at, you know, mid-teens kind of a growth. Is that something you would anticipate to kind of, you know, still kind of keep that momentum on despite, you know, wherever the upper price table goes?
See, generally in our industry, if you are properly hedged and if you have been able to, you know, put across a proper risk management policy in place, you should not be showing too much of volatility quarter over quarter. The quarter over quarter should be more or less similar. This is the only exceptional quarter where we have been able to showcase, but as we move forward, I think the margins should be in a range bound, given the fact that most of the positions held by the company are hedged. And unless, of course, there is no too much of volatility which you know, which may happen in particular quarter, which may, for some reason, either dent that quarter number or either, you know, make that number looks very, very high. But having said that, ideally, going forward, we should have a range-bound numbers for every quarter coming in.
All right. And my second part, sorry, you know, just to get this straight, was on industry essentials. I couldn't understand, you know, when you were explaining what happened to the profitability of this business in this quarter. If you could, you know, share more details on, you know, what happened to a bit of industry essentials and how will Q1 be impacted, you know, account of that. Thank you.
Yeah, that's exactly how the hedging mechanism works, you know. So when you hedge any particular commodity against a purchase contract, typically you go and sell the material on the exchange, and that's how you hedge. And therefore, whenever market moves up or down, you either lose on contracts. If you lose on contracts, you have a corresponding gain sitting in the inventory. And vice versa, if you gain on the contract, you have a loss sitting in the inventory. Now, typically, what happens in the first situation, which I explained, when you have a loss in the contracts because of the markets going up, usually you have a corresponding gain sitting in the inventory. And that is what actually has happened as far as the oleo is concerned. And therefore, what we are saying is because of this, when you take a cutoff because you need to make a balance sheet by taking a cutoff of a particular date, So you have to book those losses and the inventory gains remains outside the books, which ideally gets reflected in the next quarter. And therefore, in such scenario, if you look at two quarters back to back for a particular business, you will see that there is no impact as such.
And what is that quantum in this quarter, Q4?
So the quantum in this quarter for oleochemicals is around 80 crores.
All right. Thank you, and I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. Anyone who would like to ask a question, you may press star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question at this time. The next question is a follow-up from the line of Latika Chopra from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so I wanted to check if you could share the breakup for, you know, your food business in terms of the key contributors, wheat flour, rice, you know, soya chunks, basin, any kind of, you know, for FY22 full year, what is the kind of volume growth you registered here? And now with the acquisition of this rice mill, you know, what kind of upside do you anticipate, you know, for the rice business going forward?
See, as far as the food business is concerned, we are steadily, so these are, I mean, when we talk about the food, four basic products which are basically driving the entire food basket for the company, which is wheat flour, rice, besan, nuggets. These are the four basic categories. And for last year, we have been able to showcase 30% plus growth on both rice as well as wheat flour, and that's where we are saying that we will continue to grow on both, whether it is a wheat flour or whether it is a rice. So when you look at our volume growth in besan, last year it was sub 15%, but we have just added capacities for besan last year, plus we are also putting up some projects in IPO, so this 15% should again go to the next level. Nuggets, we are consistently growing on the volumes, which should continue. So these four categories should add anywhere between 30 to 35% of the growth for next year. I mean, Mr. Malik can add further.
See, when you look at each of these categories, say rice, we have added a volume of 39% increase in volume in 1 year between FY21 and FY22. We expect to continue at this kind of volume growth this year also. We have added one factory at Burdwan, which has already started processing since last 2-3 days. So that plant can process roughly around 4,000 tons of paddy a month. And we expect to do at least 35,000-40,000 tons paddy. Like that, we have plans to hire more plants in South to add our non-basmati rice volumes. So rice should continue to grow at 35-40%. Wheat flour, we have grown at 33% last year. We expect to continue the growth this year because by October, we will add a new factory that we are making at Bundi. That is 500 ton per day. So we expect to add that volume from October onwards. Plus, we have taken one or two more units in UP to augment our supply chain because the demand is higher. Nuggets, last year was the first year for Haldia plant because it was just started in April. This year, the plant is now ready to work. And so the business has started growing from April onwards. We expect 20 to 25% growth in nugget volumes. Besan, I am sure besan and pulses put together will grow at around 20 to 25%. April performance, if I tell you, will be more than 40% growth. So, so food-wise, this is the type of growth that we are looking at.
Thank you, gentlemen. And just on profitability for foods, how are you thinking about the roadmap there, you know?
No, so see, Latika, as we said, food basket currently is sitting at 2,600 crore turnover, which is good, and which is what we actually had planned for FY22 exit. We are almost there. It is still a EBITDA neutral business. And as we said earlier also, this is a focus area and we will keep growing this basket. And the whole focus is to improve this basket currently around 11-12% of the volume coming in from the food. We want to take it to the level of 20% and then 25% by next 2 years. So till the time this is in the growth stage, I think we will keep this at an EBITDA neutral level by spending more and more on distribution incentives and ensuring that we enter more markets, even though we may have to spend a little more to achieve this target. And that's what the outlook which we are looking at as far as the food business is concerned.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you may press star and one to ask a question at this time. Anyone who would like to ask a question, you may press star and one. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. A reminder to all the participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one at this time. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Angshu Malik for closing comments.
Thank everyone who have joined in, and we have tried to explain how things have happened in the last quarter and this financial year, and looking at the things overall, the inflationary trend and consumption might have impacted, but not only edible oil, including wheat, rice, these prices have also gone up a bit. But brand-wise, the brand is strong, the growth is continuing, and we expect to garner more and more market share in all the categories that we are operating in. Thank you once again to all.
Thank you. On behalf of Adani Wilmar Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.